Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Ann Garner. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Cosmic Citizen Radio. Stephen, are you with me? Hello? Ah, we've had a little problem there. I'm going to play a song here. This is part of being on a live broadcast. We'll now hear from Pato Bantan, A New Day Dawning.
And I can hear the angels calling. Oh yes, it is a new day dawning. It's gotta be universal love. Oh yes, there is a new day dawning. New day, angels calling. Oh yes, there is a new day dawning. It's gotta be.
Hello, Stephen, I see you on the board, but I cannot hear you, so I'm going to suggest that you hang up and call back, please. I'm not sure what's going on here. So please, I do see you. I have connected you. I recognize your number, so if you would please call back in. So folks, this is part of broadcasting. We're not sure what's going on here. So here we go. We'll try this again. Stephen, are you there?
Yes, third time's the charm.
Good morning. Well, it still shows you on the other line.
Well, I've tried. This is my third time to call in now.
Well, that's part of live broadcasting through the Internet. And what's interesting, I'm hearing an echo from myself. So
you're hearing an echo from yourself.
Right. When I speak, I hear an echo. And that's
it's the great cosmos talking back to you.
Maybe that means you'll do all the talking.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, my goodness. This is terrible. This
I'm not hearing
difficult.
That echo at all.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult for me. Would you mind, Stephen, trying one more time, hang up and call back?
Sure.
Thank you. And maybe just stay hung up for just a moment.
Sure.
And then that way you'll all disconnect.
Hello and goodbye.
Bye. Okay, folks, this is once again part of the broadcasting phenomenon. And our good friend Stephen is coming back in, and what a guy, what a beautiful guest he is. He's been a longtime reader of the Urantia book, and we refer to him as the voice of the Urantia book because he has done a lot of recording, and he was the technical advisor for the Urantia Foundation. So when you're listening to the recordings of the Urantia book on Truth Book, and you're also listening to the recordings of the Urantia book on the Foundation's website, many times you'll be hearing our good friend and brother, Stephen Zent. And here he is, back on the air. Hello, Stephen.
Hi. Are you done with the echo?
Echo is gone. Oh.
Yay.
Whew. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
And so I was just telling them that you, Paula refers to you as the voice of Urantia. And I call you the Ephelin Zembala. Ephelin Zembala. I can't say it this morning. See, now I've
left
you.
It's all right. Suffice it that I am not he. Paula has taken that particular name, because certainly there are others, Merritt Horn and so many other folks that have been recorded, Vern Grimsley, and so many of the people who've been involved in developing not only devotional materials, but study materials for students of the book. I'm just not the voice of the movement at all, but one of many.
Yes, and that's what's so beautiful about the Urantia movement, and that's a phrase that's been coined, a spiritual movement that's going forth out of what we consider to be an epical revelation. There really isn't this personality focus. We've had it off and on, but then we catch ourselves and go, wait a minute, that's not what it's supposed to be about. And it's such a team effort, and I really admire
that. It is. And the other thing that comes to mind out of team effort is not only that very strong urge that the Urantia Revelation puts forward for us to learn the task of teamwork, but that in learning teamwork, we also practice what we preach.
Good point, Stephen. And if you don't practice what you preach, if you don't practice what you're studying, if you don't seek to live it out, what good is it? You know, I know personally know people that have a tremendous amount of knowledge, yet their lives are still a wreck.
Yes.
A train, just like a wreck, a train wreck, and they can't figure it out. They come back and they go, I've read this, or whatever scripture it is, whatever has guided them into a higher consciousness. And they just constantly... I had a call this morning from someone I love dearly because of a family member passing away, very close to me, an aunt, on a relative scale young, 73 years old. She was the youngest one of the group. And what I was hearing, Stephen, was the muck and mire of life rather than the truth, beauty, and goodness. And and I realized, I can't help that, I can't, but I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going back into that realm of just of death, doom, and destruction is what I heard.
Yes, yes.
And I love my immediate bloodline. I love them dearly, but I choose not to go back there. That baggage, I said, okay. And I had, I was a little delayed getting prepared for the broadcast, but that's okay. I had to, it was important to step away.
Yeah, indeed.
Because it was my aunt that just passed over, and beautiful lady. And to have that conversation and to minister as best I could.
Yeah, right.
But a prophet, prophetess, and a prophet and a prophetess is without honor. Many times. And by that, I mean a prophet, prophetess, one who seeks to edify.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are prophets and that bring forth revelation. So.
Well, I think the thing that we sometimes are able to do, especially when we're talking with those who know us well, is just to pull forward some... it's an old cliche, but some pearl of great price, and set it into the conversation. And at times, it can actually turn the key for a mind that's locked up in a lot of fear and a lot of self-recrimination. I don't propose that I'm a particularly skilled practitioner of that idea. But it's a way that we can give something of our spiritual wisdom to others, especially if they're struggling very hard.
Well, I know
life is tough.
Life is tough. It is. It's and for anybody to say that life is not tough, I wonder what planet they're living on.
Yeah.
And if they're living with reality, because I do have some, and I'm thinking of two very dear friends that are in a very high consciousness. And when you talk to them, they really refuse to talk about muck and mire. However, they have isolated themselves so much that they're not dealing with the realities of day-to-day living. They've got themselves financially set in such a way, and therefore now they're just totally separated. And when they speak, when they're teaching now, and I've heard, and again, I find this interesting. What's that old legend story of the monk that went up into the bell tower and said, "Okay, I have become to such a higher consciousness now. I don't have to deal with all these day-to-day things. I'm going into the tower and I'm going to write the rest of my life and drop the letters out on those poor souls down there." Do you remember that story?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
And it went on for years and years, and he just stayed up in the tower and, you know, kept writing, throwing them out. And when he realized that he was dying, because he didn't think he was going to die a natural death. He thought he was going to go out of here like Enoch, you know,
yes.
And Elijah. He said, "Well, I better climb out of here because these poor people, they love me so much, they'll have to bury me." And the papers were up. All those letters, nobody had read them. They were up above his head. He had become so heavily minded, he was no longer any earthly good.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
And that's what's so wonderful about the dynamics of being involved in this community of your Rancho Butte Readers. We really are a family, and we function like a family. What is the word? We are a balance wheel for each other.
Yes.
Dynamic.
Yeah, it's dynamic for sure. And one of the things that has always pulled me forward for 35 years now that I've been involved and more is that you don't help yourself by comparing yourself to others.
Mm.
We can't help it. We tend to do it no matter what. But the minute that you set somebody else off of an equal plane, particularly as I have done on a number of occasions, idolizing somebody and expecting them to handle the problems.
Whoa.
Then you give away your own unique power, your own ability, or you at least place yourself in a situation where that other person makes the first decision and you're left with the decision of whether to say yes or no.
Why do we continue? Why do humans do that? Why do they want this, even in I call it the celebrity factor.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you know, one thing that comes to mind immediately is the old-fashioned, I should say, idea that God will take care of everything.
Hmm.
There is truth in that.
In the big picture, yeah.
Yeah, but the idea that we can simply sit back and let God run the show means that we've given up on our ability to actually be a part of the Supreme.
Mm.
The Supreme wants our action and our involvement.
We may have, and we usually do, especially in the downloads and even today because of the way we put out the message, people that are not readers of the Urantia book and they're listening for the first time, could you explain what you mean by the Supreme according to the Urantia book?
I can make a stab at it, but I certainly don't pretend to be an expert. What I get from my reading is that the Supreme is two different things. One is the Supreme Being, who is our evolutionary deity, and the best that human consciousness can conceive. And the other is the Almighty Supreme, which is the culmination of the entire age of the Supreme, which is the age that our universe and the other six universes, or super universes, I should say, are going through right now. This long, long, long evolutionary period in which time and space is our reality.
The concept of Supreme Being is such a powerful concept for me to grab a hold of, that that's the experiential aspect of deity.
Yes.
And we, each one of us, have our unique role in that. And we have, and the guys and gals on the board can help us with this as far as looking up a quote. Where is that quote? Everything of spiritual value, our decisions, when we have something that registers, when we exercise those decisions that has spiritual value, the Supreme moves one step forward in fulfilling. That's
exactly.
Very powerful. And where does that quote, Stephen, that when we lose someone, when I say I lose, because someone asked me recently on the board that is not a Urantia book reader in the sense that we are, but a very open-minded person in seeking to understand what we're all about this fear and judgment and about, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What did that mean? What did Jesus, how could he do that? How could he be divine, human, all that? But
yes.
Getting to that question, the judgment holds, actually judgment of our eternal status is done by the Ancients of Days, by the committee, you might say. And that's a long process, and for a soul to become as if it never were. Wow.
Yep.
And there's a
yep.
tear. That's the quote I'm looking for. There's like a fabric, the Supreme Being. There's an actual tear in that fabric. And that's as you expound on that, I'm going to actually try to find that particular quote.
One of the things that I love about the idea of the Supreme is that rather than trying to wrap our minds around the non-beginning, non-ending, eternal continuum, so to speak, as they call it, which is a concept that our mortal minds really can't grasp, timelessness doesn't fit with our sense of time. We have a beginning at birth, we have a middle in which we live our lives, and we have an end which comes at the point that we lay down our physical life and move on into the next life to come. Because we are time-bound and we are in universes of time and space, the revelators in the Urantia book have provided us with the concept of the Supreme, because this is the God that is the culmination of all of everything. Not fully God at the moment, in evolution to become the Almighty Supreme.
Say that again, Stephen, right there. That was a profound statement. Can you?
He is in the process of evolution.
Mm.
In other words, he is not complete. Neither is the age of the Supreme complete. We're in time and space, and we're evolving. And one of the interesting things that they say is that you can participate in your life in the evolution of the Supreme.
That's a profound concept, because so many people feel like, well, I live the best I can, and then I die, and I wake up. And the concept of what's going to happen to us after this life is so profound for me from studying the teachings of the Urantia book that I actually play a role after I leave this life. And, you know, I've had people ask me over the years from other religious orders, say, what if you're wrong? What if this is just totally made up? I said, you know what? I've had atheists even ask me that. And I said, I would rather believe it's right than to live. If I'm wrong, so be it. But this knowledge gives me so much peace that passeth all understanding and creates within me a desire to be about being the best I can be in participating.
Yes. And there's your key, is participating.
Yes.
An awful lot of people, I think, are genuinely discouraged. And these aren't people who are just bumps on logs. These are people who have very good minds and who struggle for meaning. But they've kind of given up. They don't see why life is such a struggle. They don't see why we are constantly up against tough facts and genuinely rugged reality, so to speak.
Mm.
And one of the things that aligning yourself with this idea of the evolution of the Supreme and of your life having significance in that particular way is that it's not just that God pats you on the head and says, good for you, but that God says, you know, you're actually in this with me.
And doesn't that make more sense than having this concept of this all-knowing, all-powerful, and, of course, the first source and center is all-knowing. Now, there's a paradox. All-knowing yet hasn't experienced what you're experiencing, what I'm experiencing. And we have a caller that's about to step in the door. I've already put her microphone through that really has done some marvelous poetry, Suzanne Kelly. What Suzanne has done is created poetry. Do y'all know each other, by the way? I just thought of that. You may not know each other personally.
I'm not sure I do.
Suzanne, are you here? Well, her microphone's on, but maybe she's... I'll text her.
I'm on. I had muted. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Stephen,
okay.
This is Suzanne Kelly. I guess y'all don't know each other.
Hi, Stephen. I know you in name. I'm not sure if we've met at any of the conferences or anything, but I definitely know your name.
Hi there.
Hi.
Suzanne wrote a beautiful poem, epical poem, called Elan Vital, and she steps in when she can each Wednesday to give us our poetic interlude. So,
Suzanne, actually, we did meet at Larry Geis's house in Sebastopol.
That's exactly right. I gave one of my little prezos there, I do believe.
That's right.
Well, Suzanne, I don't know how much time you've been able to listen, but we've been talking about the concept of the Supreme Being, which is very unique to the teachings of the Urantia book.
Yes, I think they say that the Supreme is the main revelation that came with the book, the fact that he is the actuation and or actualization of all experience, and he is all of us, and we are him. And I think that was one of the most, like you said, the comforting and most hope-filled, releasing moments when I understood the Supreme Being. You know, I became one with him, and he became one with me, and it was the most incredible adventure that I witnessed at that moment. And I've told people before that I am an ambassador of the Supreme. And
oh, I like that, an ambassador.
Yes, that is what I aspire to become.
Well, in your poetry, and if you haven't found anything yet, we'll just continue on here. I'm trying to think of where the quote is about those that, at that final, and it, oh, so much mercy. It goes way beyond this life if a person doesn't make that choice to move on. That there's a part of the Supreme that I keep hearing the words that like a tear in the fabric and then it's rewoven, because nothing mm-hmm. that's spiritual will ever be lost.
Oh no, nothing is ever lost. You know, it only adds to what is, and once you know, you can never not know, and I guess that's where knowledge equates responsibility, you know. Once you know, you can never not know, and you have to take the responsibility of the knowledge and grow
you know,
with it.
When you, excuse me, when you mentioned ambassadors, one of the things that came to mind is a quote from Sir George Trevelyan, who was mm-hmm. involved with the people who put the Findhorn complex together.
Uh-huh.
Eileen and Peter Caddy and so forth. And Trevelyan said at a gathering that my friend Patricia Feary and I went to in San Francisco, he said, "We are ambassadors of God, and ambassadors are not entitled to despair."
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. That
is
the nail on the head. Well, I had pulled a little excerpt from my poem, and wasn't really sure if it would fit in, but it kind of does, you know. It's kind of a culmination of where we are in our recognition at this stage of our evolution, and it says, "All religion will eventually reflect man and his changing mores. For wisdom illuminates revelation, and revelation erases lore. Most ancient scriptures passed down as sacred were done so from fear and respect, for ancestor worship is slow in dissipating, as are traditions that are suspect. Even when the obtuse intertwines, if it's in a sacred book, it must be divine. And it takes hundreds of years to finally metamorphose from the adulation promulgated in its primitive stasis. Evolutionary religion makes no provision for altered beliefs or change or revision. In all it espouses and eschews in subjection, it leaves no room for progressive correction. But it did sustain morality in the primitive mind through the priest police and their tithing binds. And as this world progressed, its wisdom did too, with science eliminating phobia from truth. And as revelation permeated those God-seeking souls who burrowed their way through its religious throes. And as intelligence evolves, the vibrations descend, rocking truth from the depths for the witness of man. And successive mutation of religious thought will stumble on true worship and wisdom. For revelation expands the spiritual minds of man, and change forms our beliefs with reason. Disclosure is inescapable in spiritual pursuit, and its only limitation is held in the pursuer's receptive grace and the capacity of their emancipation.
I love Pursuer's receptive grace.
Thank you.
That just puts it right there. One of the things that we thought we might talk about today is this idea of encouraging people to have their own personal worship and devotion experience.
And what a perfect segue, because you brought up the point of worship and wisdom, which is very profound.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. Stephen, we want to discuss that, because Stephen, you begin to ignite within the readership this sense of purpose of having a worship time. And before we get into that, Suzanne, you had another comment?
Well, I was going to say that the continued spiritual search, you will stumble on worship and wisdom, but it is not intellectually bound. You will stumble on that regardless of your intellect, regardless of your circumstance, if you pursue the spiritual truth. And, I think maybe it's time we're all beginning to recognize that. It is a personal, and it is, it's understandable regardless of ethnicity, regardless of intellect.
I think that's really true, and I also think it's probably one of the sources of the kind of just intense angst that a lot of really sensitive and intelligent people are going through.
Yeah.
Because the old paradigm is just disintegrating into little tiny pieces.
Yes.
The new way is coming up to this consequence of being involved with the Supreme, which is that you get it almost viscerally that we are truly all connected.
Yes.
It's
wonderful.
We're having an input from the chat room, and I love this. A dear friend of ours, Carol, she put a quote in, and she said, "I'm not sure if this is what we're talking about, but it is, in my opinion." She's coming out of page 36 of the original, the first printing of the book. "God is eternally and infinitely perfect. He cannot personally know imperfection as his own experience, but he does share the consciousness of the experience of imperfectness." Whoops, it kicked, so now I'm having trouble reading it. Somebody else wrote something. It went away. I'll have to try that again. I'll have to find it in the book. That's the problem with this chat room. It kicks, and you can't read it.
Yeah.
But she has tapped in. She's got it. That's what you're, both of you are talking about. Through us, through the imperfection of us, God is experienced. And
right.
Realizing perfection. And Stephen, you want to share with us about how did this come about in your consciousness of being a facilitator of worship experiences around the planet of your Rancho Book readers that have chosen not to participate in or in addition to. I know I do it in addition to the group worship experiences I have in organized, current organized religion on the planet.
Well, I'm not exactly sure how it originally came about, but in January, I was experiencing the post-holidays blues, I guess you could call it. And I was aware that I don't want to say this in a way that sounds dismissive, but the truth is that I had given a very big part of my life to a very active and very beautiful Episcopal parish in San Francisco before I moved out to the suburbs. And that beautiful Episcopal parish experienced a meltdown in which a very serious disagreement took place among the members of the parish. And I began to see an almost analogous repeat of something that happened in my father's Christian church in Kansas City, Missouri, years ago.
And your father, minister, right?
Well, actually, both my parents were preacher's kids because both my grandfathers were Christian church ministers also. So I'm kind of the black sheep of the family. I didn't go that way.
Yeah,
I went into...
You do have a wonderful ministry. I told you that in an email. I recognized
Thank
that a
you.
Very long time ago.
Thank you very much. It isn't something that makes me either want to stand on a pulpit and preach or to assume some kind of priestly duties. There's nothing about that that appeals to me. Also, having stepped away from that intensity of the Episcopal Church experience, I find myself not really drawn to churchianity of any kind at the moment.
Welcome to my world.
So, what came up in January was the idea that there's something about the energy, I talk metaphysically here, but there's something about the energy to me on Sunday morning. There is an upward rising of consciousness of worship and of joining with the divine that happens starting on Saturday. Our friends who are Seventh-day Adventists on Saturday, our Jewish friends who worship on Sabbath, and then rolling right on over into Sunday morning, all of the monasteries and convents, all of the churches have their main worship gathering of the week on Sunday morning. People who appreciate that kind of community involvement in devotions and worship, in singing hymns and all the rest of it, really rise in their minds and their hearts and their souls to a level that sometimes gives them the energy to go through an entire week. Many, many people count on that experience on Sunday morning. And it occurred to me that I could, because we are all connected, sit in my big chair in my living room and either in silence or in listening to maybe Gregorian chant or a beautiful set of music, rise in my consciousness in meditation to join with all of that worshiping that was going on all over the planet.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Well, yes, it does. And Stephen, you have totally shifted. You've been a huge role in shifting that with me. My main service is Sunday afternoon because it's a ministry to ministries. So Sunday mornings, I wake up with that in mind, and it's beautiful. And we have another caller. I love it. Hello, Carol.
Hi.
This
is
Carol.
I think there's a delay.
We hear you very well.
Okay.
Stephen, you know who this is?
I'm not sure.
It's Carol Forrester.
Hi, Carol. Nice
Hi,
to talk to
you.
Good.
Ben, I don't know if you know Carol, but we have another poet on the line.
Yes, indeed.
Carol,
Yay.
you had some input, and you were right, so please share with us.
Well, I came in late, so I'm not sure where we're at, but what they were talking about on the chat was God experiencing through us. That was what I got out of it. And that's a really big interest of mine, because it makes my life not so immediate to me to know that I'm part of a larger whole. And so I studied that. I've studied the thought adjuster experience sections in the Urantia book a lot.
And Carol, we assume that there are people listening that have never read the Urantia book. They're being introduced particularly on the Wednesday broadcast. Thought adjuster, can you give a brief description to someone that might not understand that term? We've described supreme being.
Well, I would say it's our inner voice. If someone's not familiar with the Urantia book, it's not necessarily a conscience. It's when you are looking into yourself for answers, and I don't know how to put it. It's the part of God that's inside of you.
Right, and there's a fragment. And this ties into supreme being, right, Stephen? And this is what you're doing through your worship experience on Sunday mornings, which I've stepped in now and share that with you. I actually post the things on Facebook, which I love. I love Facebook now. That's my worship experience to prepare me for the day and the week, Stephen. So we are tying in consciously around the planet. And you were explaining that. Go ahead with that, please.
Did you mean Carol or me?
You, Stephen, yes.
Well, Carol has done
that?
A beautiful job of taking the prayers from the Urantia book that are so beautifully put together and making it into an illustrated book, and I have a copy of it that I just adore. It goes with me to study group every time we get together.
Carol, what is that website that people can find that, please? Can you type it in the chat room while you're also saying it?
Okay. All right. I'll.
We really multitask here.
Absolutely.
I have five windows open. Hey, that's good, though, for our older minds, right?
Yep.
Okay, let me look it up real quick.
Let's see, Carol, your website is your name, right?
I have two websites. One is my artwork, and the other one is a Urantia website that I don't have this on. So I'm going to put in the website where you can. It's a self-publishing website is where I have it right now.
And what is the name of it, please?
It's Blurb, B-L-U-R-B. And I'm going to look up my page real quick.
Okay, so Stephen, while she's doing that, wow, I love it. We have all these beautiful, wonderful poets here. And that expression you give each week, and you'll write sometimes, Stephen, from your soul consciousness. Can you share with us what you've been shown during this Easter season?
Well, one thing that I did want to bring into this is that when we just bring everything to a halt. Hello?
Someone... Okay. Not sure who that is.
No, that was me. I put my phone probably on speakerphone.
Okay.
But I took it back off. Sorry.
We got big there for a minute.
Okay, I put the link in, and then I have the Mansion World book on there, and I have the prayer book, and I'm working right now on a book on, I'm sorry, am I interrupting?
No.
Go ahead. It's blurb.com. /user/earthgarden. Hey, it's cool that we even know what that means.
The one I'm working on right now, which I think is my favorite, is going to be about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, and the Divine Spirit, which is the Thought Adjuster, the Universal Mother Spirit, and the Creator Son. And that has to do with everything you guys are talking about today. That's where I was looking up that quote I just put on there, which isn't in my book, but maybe I should put it in there. That's all the things that I'm interested in right now. But I have four books up on there right now. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you didn't.
Because that ties in, because that consciousness of the Supreme Being and us tying into that cosmic consciousness through our thought of justice, through the spirit that dwells within us, that's exactly what Stephen has called us to do.
Well, you know, the other thing that comes to mind from what Carol was just saying is that the Urantia book specifically denominates the Supreme Being as the Universe Mother.
Yes.
Not our local Universe Mother Spirit, but in the sense of fostering and bringing together all of the evolutionary consequences of all of the living beings on all the inhabited worlds throughout seven super universes in a gigantic collection of reality that we can't even begin to comprehend.
That's
mother
big.
Of it all. Yeah,
the
it's
mother
you.
Of it all. Wow. And Stephen, you were saying what Spirit has been dealing with you about during this Easter season, and I'd compiled some quotes last week, and it was quite a process for me to do that. And
I noticed on Facebook that you were closely following the events of real-time Easter.
It was a very profound experience for me, Stephen. And then the
yes,
resurrection.
Indeed.
Oh, and then to come back and respond to some questions, which, you know, we learn the most when we're asked questions. It really stimulates our thinking process. Good news, the gospel. That's what it was all about, the fatherhood and brotherhood and sisterhood of all. That's beautiful.
And also the sense that each time we go into a kind of dedicated space where what we're really doing is not just meditating but worshiping, we bring back from that some upstepping of our personal spiritual comprehension, I guess I would say. We expand our minds. That's one of the reasons why I love this process, is that there's a sense that you're enlarging your comprehension. And the more that one can enlarge one's perspective, the less one has an excuse to dwell on the petty irritations that life throws in our face day after day.
Amen.
I think
that's
one of our real
assignments. You got an amen from the amen corner. Suzanne,
I think that's one of our assignments.
I'm assuming Suzanne's still here. Oh, wait a minute. Did we lose Suzanne? Okay, go ahead.
I'm here.
Oh, hi.
I had to call my name again because the call got dropped. But, yeah,
okay.
I was amening. There was two amens.
You got two amens, Stephen.
Okay.
Stephen, you're talking about the worship experience. That's a huge term there of meditation, prayer, praise, worship. That sense of worship, Stephen, how do you experience that versus prayer, meditation?
Well, for me, it's a process of getting in.
We're getting some feedback. Somebody, Suzanne, would you go on mute, please, until you have something to say?
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Stephen.
You get into a place where you're not paying attention to external stimuli. You're paying attention to the space that you occupy with your divine father fragment, your thought adjuster, your spirit of truth, your entire Holy Spirit hookup with the universe, Mother Spirit and her seven adjutants, because worship leads to wisdom. And that was one of the real urgency keys. I don't feel comfortable being stupid, and there were ways in
I don't
which
feel comfortable being stupid. I liked it. I'm going to quote you on that.
There were ways in 2009 in which I just felt stupid, and I decided that I needed to have this devotional space in my life so that I could ask for assistance. I could say, I want you not only in my life, but I want you to enrich my life. And it works, at least in my experience.
Well, I'm going to tell you, right now, when you started speaking right there, I really feel the presence of the Spirit. Right now, you're tapping in. And we've come together in this broadcast, and we're actually having a sense of communion right now, of remembrance time. And how virtually beautiful is this? And that sense of worship, that sense of communion, where we're not asking, we're just moving into that awareness. Carol, can you put some other words to that? Of how
It's hard to do a sound bite. I have to struggle because it's hard to reduce. It's a very deep thing that happens inside of you, and it's hard to describe. And it's slow. It takes time. You know, like I'll have a problem during the day, I'll sleep during the night, and the next day, you know, I'll have answers. And it's not necessarily like some voice in your head that talks to you. You know, it's just something that happens. And
that's right.
It's hard to just reduce it. I'm not good at that.
Well, that you're doing a great job.
Well, you know, I have another instance of that connection. I had a friend who was going through some tough times, and I told her that I said, sounds like you need a big hug. And she said, yeah, I need a big hug. And I said, well, ask, you know, Jesus to give you a hug. Ask him to give you a hug. Tell him you need a hug. And she said, really? I said, yeah, tell him you need a hug. She called me 2 days later. She said, I woke up, and she said, I got hugged last night, and there's nothing that's wrong with this life. And I'm like, okay, see, that's what she said. All you got to do is ask. And I said, but it takes a little while. You just got to wait for it. She said, okay. 2 days. Took 2 days to get her hug.
That's really the basis of this is trusting that your connection works consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only get that through that moving out of self, that total sense of, well, what's in it for me today? That is that the right way to state that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty close to it. It's not a selfish asking. Pardon me. It's a participatory asking, and I must say that once you decide that you're going to participate in this, you have a requirement of a kind of willingness. Your will aligns with the Father's will, so to speak.
That's right. And
go ahead, Suzanne. We're down to 5 minutes.
Okay, I was going to say, once you know, you can never not know. And knowledge equates responsibility. Mm-hmm. Responsibility is the parent of free will.
That's beautiful.
And I would say that you need to be willing to give things up.
Yes.
There's some things you have to just, you have to be willing to do that because you can't have everything.
Well, I'm hearing
that's right.
In the Bible, there's a scripture, and I'm sure it equates in the Urantia book, put ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added. Now, it won't be material things necessarily. It's that all these things of beauty, truth, and goodness. And, Stephen, we're down to, wow, the hour went quickly. This has been a wonderful virtual study group worship experience. Beautiful. Thank you. How can people participate in this? You're on Facebook, but how can people participate with you in getting your blessed quotes each week? I know you're kind of doing that a different way. I'd be glad to bring those quotes into my Facebook or your statements and affirmations. And Carol, I'm constantly saying I like this, and I'm bringing in your links and your beautiful pictures. And Suzanne,
well,
we need to start doing more of yours on Facebook.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
Carol just does the most wonderful things.
Oh. So how can we join together with you in this experience, the virtual, I think of Facebook right now because it's a very powerful experience for me. Stephen?
Well, one thing that is really key to what I'm trying to do is to empower individuals to use their free will. In other words, you come to the fifth epical power hour because that's what you want to do.
I love that. Fifth epical power hour.
I don't know where that came from. It just kind of popped into my head in January.
I love that. So I notice on each Sunday morning that you write, you put in inspirational comments. So I'm going to start sharing that, and if we start doing that, the three of us right now, then that benign virus of love will penetrate
yes.
the planet.
I think that's right.
Yeah, what a wonderful thing.
Wow, I love that. And what time, is there a specific time on California time on Sunday, or is it just any time during the morning?
It's any time that the decks are cleared and you're ready to just bring yourself to a halt.
I love that. The decks are clear. Well, I have a Facebook friend that's in Australia that's totally joining in with us, and we met through Facebook and several others, but I'm thinking of him. He's really engaged with what's going on. And some other people from Taiwan that aren't Urantia readers, but totally tied in by the spiritual circuits, and others, but that's the two that come to mind right now around the planet. I think that's quite, it's just very lovely. And
mm-hmm.
then there are those that are quietly readers of the Urantia book that are not in a position to be open about it, and I totally respect that. But we can see on Facebook when they're putting out that word of the real good news. It's very profound.
You know, one thing that we might want to investigate, since the four of us are talking about this and looking for ways that we can begin to put it out to a larger circle.
I said three, there's actually four. Cool, that's right.
If we could investigate what it would take to have maybe a Power Hour website.
Well, we've got Larry Watkins that can... Hello, Larry. He's our engineer and our computer scientist. And Carol, of course, and yeah. Well, we are out of time. And thank you for stepping in the door, all three of you. Have a trinity here. I love it. and wants you to come back. And Carol wants you to come in as a guest. And, of course, Stephen, please come back. We do want to do this more often. And step in any time on a Wednesday.
Okay. Normally I'm in the office, so it's tough
right.
for me
you
to
took,
do. But
you took off. You can call. See, Suzanne's not on the Internet. She's just calling from her cell phone.
Right.
But I know the time difference is difficult for you. Well,
anyway, I'm really glad we had a chance to talk.
Beautiful. Well, I will see you on Facebook, and thank
okay.
you so much. And thank you, Carol. Thank you, Suzanne. And
thanks
everybody.
Thank all y'all, definitely. Great.
And God
and thanks
bless.
Thanks, Larry Watkins, too.
Yes, Larry, he is my co-host. He doesn't like to say that, but he is my co-host. I couldn't do this without him. And thanks to Paula, and that's our sister broadcast, and I forgot to mention that. Our sister broadcast, and we're under that umbrella. Paula Thompson coming in each Saturday, and Crystalyn is her co-host, and Diane LeBrec, and they already have a guest lined up for Saturday. I think it's on the website. God bless everybody during this resurrection time. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye.
In a world of so much hate, crime and injustice, what we need right now is some universal love. Unconditional love, y'all.